Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, your host today, and I'm excited to be joined at our AACC 2025 World Conference with Pastor Tim Timberlake. Tim is a pastor, communicator, and author whose messages of hope and resilience have impacted people worldwide. He's just released his fourth book, The Bumpy Road to Better, which reminds us that while life isn't always smooth, with God's help, we can find balance, resilience, and hope. I'm always so blessed by our conversations, Pastor Tim. It's a privilege to have you join me today.
My honor. I'm always excited and honored whenever we get an opportunity, not to just talk, but to converse and have conversation where other people can hear it.
Come on, sir.
I love that. You're such a bright thinker, an incredible leader, an incredible orator of both scripture and of what your educational background is. And I think it's encouraging, inspiring, and much needed. You know, you look at the voices that are kind of occupying the spaces of culture and society now, and they're not making any healthy deposits for the most part. And then you discover voices like yourself who have a desire to point people to Jesus. It's a breath of fresh air. So thank you for all that you do and all that God has placed in you that you're pouring out in today's time and season. So,
Pastor Tim, man, you are truly a trusted friend. Hearing those words from you, that means the world to me.
You're the man, Zach.
You're a gift, so thank you so much. I want to start here. You delivered a powerful word this morning at our AACC 2025 United World Conference. 7,000 pastors, counselors, chaplains, coaches from all around the world. 30 countries, all 50 states are represented here. And you brought a word, wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
Share with our audience just a little bit more behind that message and why you think God placed that message on your heart to share with us.
Yeah, so my heart, I really have a heart for therapists, counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists as well, coaches, anyone that is in the space of helping to walk alongside of other people. Because so often, it's not that we don't have people around us. We often ask ourselves the question, who has us? And I want to be sure that whenever I get the opportunity to speak at the AACC World Conference, that they leave that moment knowing two things. Number one, their identity in Christ.
Yeah.
And number two, being affirmed by the Father.
Yes.
And so that was my assignment today, making sure that they know everything that we need is found in Jesus. And when we find it there, he affirms us. He refills us. He gives us this fullness of joy that surpasses everything we could imagine. And so the wax on, wax off concept comes from one of my favorite movies of all time, The Karate Kid.
Come on.
Karate Kid. It's just one of those classic movies. And, you know, the thing that stood out to me was Mr. Miyagi had Daniel waxing on his car, and then he was painting fences, and Daniel was getting frustrated. He's like, I just want to fight. I just want to be Karate Kid. I just want to do the things that I see all these other people doing. But Mr. Miyagi was teaching him a lesson in the hidden things, in the minuscule things, in the things that we look at as minute and unnecessary. It's developing a strategy.
Yes.
And the strategy that Mr. Miyagi was using for Daniel's son was muscle memory. For us, the unseen things are developing a spiritual habit, a spiritual rhythm, a spiritual routine that allow us to dig deep wells to be filled with the spirit of joy. And when we are full of joy, it helps to combat, counteract every other thing that we will come up against in this life.
Wow. You mentioned so many incredible one-liners that I told you backstage. I was taking pages of notes. I just feel like the Holy Spirit breathes in and through you. Mm. And you are just a conduit and a vessel through which he channels that message of hope to a dark and hurting world. And let me tell you something. I was encouraged this morning.
Thank you.
And you said something, that joy is not something you chase. It's something
That's
you choose
right.
because
right.
it can only be found in the presence of God.
That's right.
And you said, man, we give so much, but we have to be filled by his Spirit
yeah.
to be able to lead and to lead well and to do it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Tim, we need that message of joy now, mm-hmm. I think, in culture more than ever.
That's right.
There's been so much division.
Yep.
There's been so much hurt and hatred all out there in the world. But you're somebody that's leading on the front lines. Mm-hmm. And I believe this. I don't believe in coincidences. We chose this theme mm-hmm. way back in 2022 for this 2025 event, being united.
That's right.
Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing from within the church, this spirit of revival, this spiritual awakening, and what's encouraging you in the midst of a lot of chaos.
You think about that word, united. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 4, verse 32, where Peter and John are leading a group of people who are in the upper room that encountered the power, the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit. They go out into the streets. Peter and John come across a lame man who's been lame since he was a young kid. Scripture says over 40 years. They speak to that lame man at the beautiful gate. In the name of Jesus, they declare healing over him. He gets up rejoicing. He gets up dancing. And as Acts chapter 4 continues to weave through this story, the Sanhedrin council come to Peter and John and start to persecute them and accuse them. And they look at the people and they say, those that believe, we make sacrifice, we love each other, and we do whatever is necessary to breed unity within the body of Christ. And I think one of the greatest misconceptions and one of the greatest tools that the enemy has used in this season in culture and society is to make us believe that agreement is unity. Mm. Agreement is not unity. We don't have to agree on everything to be unified.
That's right.
We have to agree on one thing, and that is the name of Jesus. And so I think for those that are listening, those that are leaning into this moment, don't buy into what culture is selling because it always bankrupts you. Lean into what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us fight for unity. Love your brothers and your sisters as you would love yourself. And so when we lean into unity, when we lean into the opportunity to love people through their differences, because it is truly a blessing. Our differences are a blessing. I'm so glad that we are not all alike.
Yeah.
I can't imagine waking up and everyone looks the same.
Robotic.
Everyone talks the same.
Yeah.
Everyone is eating the same thing. We would be clones of each other, but God sees the beauty in differences. We see the beauty in differences in everything except for humanity. I never go in Baskin-Robbins and complain they have 32 flavors.
That's right.
Absolutely not. I never go into my favorite donut shop and say, oh my gosh, you have something other than original? No, we celebrate differences in everything except for humanity. And so I think we need to celebrate each other's differences. I think we need to understand that agreement is not the priority over unity. Unity is a reflection of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we should lean into more than anything else in this season.
That's a word, Pastor Tim, and I believe this. That God has placed a message of hope on your heart in your newest book, The Bumpy Road to Better. Obviously, this has been something that has been carefully curated, right, in the pages of this book. But I believe that we need that message now more than ever. You talk a lot about resilience in the book. Unpack it. What's the heart behind The Bumpy Road to Better?
Yeah, so it's one of those books that when people read, they're reminded of some of the things that God has bought them out of. And my prayer is that as you recall some of those things, it infuses you with hope for the season that you're in right now, whether it's a good season or not so good season. And so the way that the book is laid out, 22 hard things, hard people, hard places, hard situations and circumstances, hard questions, hard asks. These are the things that we have to navigate. And I think sometimes we avoid them because they make us uncomfortable. And so it's in the discomfort that we find some of the greatest blessings and breakthroughs and gold nuggets of the character of Jesus than we could have ever found in easy and mountaintop moments. And so our faith isn't tested on the mountaintop. Our faith is tested in the valley. Our faith is not tested in good seasons. Our faith is tested when we need it to be at work the most. And so this book, The Bumpy Road to Better, is a friendly reminder to us that all of us on this journey, all of us are headed on this road to better, but you're going to have to endure some bumps. You're going to have to overcome some obstacles. You're going to have to get over some hurdles. But I promise if you do those things, you'll discover the better at the end of the at the end of the tunnel.
Job 14:1 says that man born of woman is few of days but full of trouble.
That's right.
Right? In this world, you will have trouble. John 16:33. James chapter 1, right? Whenever you face trials of many kinds, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
That's right.
And you've talked a lot about resilience, not just from stages, but also throughout all of your books, because you're no stranger to suffering yourself. Mm-hmm. You're somebody who's battled, who's endured great grief and loss of loved ones, dreams, all sorts of things. And I'm just thinking about an audience member out there today who's thinking, you know what, that's great. I know that there's a lot of hard in my life, but man, I want just a couple of practical steps as to how I can begin to maybe lean on God, get up every day and take that next step forward. What is some advice you'd give them in that moment?
Yeah, I would say to our family that are listening to this moment that are in the pressures, in the throes of whatever tumultuous season that they may find themselves in, we often confess that we believe in Jesus, but we trust in ourselves. I would encourage them to fully trust in God, fully trust in His ability, which means that we find rest for our soul. And rest is one of the greatest signs of faith, because it means that we no longer depend on ourselves for performing, we no longer depend on ourselves for the outcome, but we fully trust God's ability to do what He said. And so our opportunity, our obligation is to simply believe, and it is God's assignment to perform. And when we get into trouble is when we try to perform instead of believe, and we manufacture things. And anything that we manufacture, we have to have the ability to sustain it. And the reality is we don't. And so we have to fully trust that God is able to do what we are not in His timeline, in His way, whatever He wants to do, and be okay with that. It takes the pressure off of us.
Absolutely. Pastor Tim, you know, I'm just thinking about moments in your life where maybe you ran into bumpy. And I think of the book of Job, and I think of in chapter 42, verse 5, where he says, up to this point, I've heard of you with my ears, but now in the midst of great pain, I've seen you with my eyes. I'd love to hear just some of the lessons that maybe even you share and impart throughout the book, just as to what we can glean from what God has revealed to you in those moments of bumpy too.
Let's stay right there with I've seen Him with my eyes. I think as we see God in pain and in difficult situations and seasons, we also need to be reminded that God sees us. I think of the life of Hagar, and she's under this tree after she's on the run. She understands the difficulty of life ahead, and she's thirsty. Her son Ishmael is thirsty, and she is asking God to allow her to escape this pain. And God speaks to her, and He shows her provision that had already been there that she could not see. And she calls God something so significant. And my prayer is that as people read this book, they're reminded of Elroy, which means the God that sees me. And so that's my prayer. Not only are we a people that see God in everything that we do in every season of our life, but we're reminded that God also sees us. And when you think about that, you think about the implications of that, you think about the significance of that. There's over 8.7 billion people on the earth right now. There's all of these different millions and millions of creatures in creation, but yet and still in the vastness of it all, God sees me. That thought is humbling. That thought is overwhelming. That thought keeps me at the feet of Jesus. And I pray that our listeners and our viewers understand that no matter how busy life may be for you, it is not so busy for God where He does not see you.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and my guest today is Pastor Tim Timberlake. We've been talking about his new book, The Bumpy Road to Better, and how we can find resilience and hope even when life isn't very smooth. Pastor Tim Timberlake, you've shared a little bit about some of the struggles that you've gone through in several interviews in the past with us. Obviously, you're equipping us with next steps as to how we can not just see God, but remember that He sees us. in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our struggles. I want to go now to the impact of community. Because we talked about unity here for a moment, and we talked about perseverance, but I want to talk about partnership.
That's right.
Obviously with the Spirit, but also with others. Mm-hmm. We need people, especially when we're going through tough things, because we can't go very far alone. That's we weren't made to do that.
That's right.
And it's not the way in which God designed for the path forward. Mm-hmm. Speak to the importance that resilience is truly rooted in relationship.
It is. You may run faster alone, but you run further together. Yeah. You know, it's that running mate, those running partners that hold you up when you feel weak, that remind you you got more left in the tank, that keep the priorities of your life that God has placed in front of you at the forefront of everything you do. And, you know, we are built for community. Mm. And it is modeled so perfectly throughout Scripture. Think about this for a second. God being all infinite in power, being omnipresent, being the author and the finisher of our faith, the creator, the everything we can think of, more than what our natural minds can process. And even he lives in community. Mm-hmm. You think about that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so if God does not abandon or avoid community, who are we as his creation to think that we can live and sustain our lives without it? Mm-hmm. And so community is what's built in us. And that's why there's a void and an empty hole in our soul when we're isolated from that community. Mm-hmm. I encourage our listeners and our viewers, get in community, get plugged into community, and begin to invest and pour and you know, honor those that are around you. Scripture teaches us that iron sharpens iron.
Yes,
it does. And there is an accountability. There's a friction that happens to get sharpened. And that doesn't happen without being in close proximity to someone else. Mm. Yeah.
You know, I know you have an incredible bride, Jen, obviously a son, Maxwell. You love them dearly, but God has surrounded you with other leaders.
Yes.
I'm thinking of Philip Anthony Mitchell. Yeah. You guys started this podcast, Street Preachers, and God is doing something special in and through it. I'd love for you to share just how meaningful that relationship and that brotherhood has been for you, but also what God's doing through Street Preacher.
Yeah, I think, you know, for both me and Phil, our desire is to push against the darkness we see. And utilize whatever little influence that God has given us to point people towards him and push against what culture and society has called the norm. You know, we live in a day and age where sin has become normality. Comfort has become a priority. Convenience has been what we have based decisions off of. And me and Phil just want to utilize any opportunity we get to let people know that righteousness is still right. Inconvenience is one of the greatest things God uses to remind us that we need him and have to depend on him. And we will never find what God has ordained for us to find in our comfort. It only comes from godly conviction. And so Street Preachers was birthed out of that. It was birthed out of us being delivered from the backgrounds and the streets and the upbringings that both of us were in before we came to the Lord. And utilizing the text of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel was a street preacher crying out for repentance, crying out for the children of God, for the sons and daughters of God to turn back to the Lord. And so that's what we're desiring to do, just ring an alarm for everyone that would hear and watch. Hey, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There's so much that we can do together, and there's so much that God desires to do in us and through us, but it takes a heart of repentance. And so as culture and society tries to silence voices that speaks of the purity and the holiness and the righteousness of God, we just have a mandate to continue to raise our voices in the face of adversity and allow people to know you can't shut up what God desires to allow his children to hear.
Come on. What I love about even the title Street Preacher is that it reminds us that we're all called into ministry.
Right. That's right.
When culture says, you know, you have to have a pedestal, you have to have a platform, you have to have influence, you have to have a podium, whatever it is. No. You're saying we don't need a pulpit. Everybody is called to this very thing because we are all then held accountable or 100% responsible for what God has given us to steward. Mm-hmm. Our own homes, our own relationships, our families, our workplaces, all of these things. Speak to an audience member out there today about how wherever they might find themselves, whatever occupation, whatever vocation, they're all street preachers.
Absolutely. We often think, okay, I'll do this when I get more. I'll say this when I get to this place, and I'll do this when I get to that place. And that's what I call destination addiction. I'll be happier when I get there, or I'll do this when I get there. And the reality is you won't be happy there until you find yourself in joy here, operating in obedience here. And so you don't need a platform. You don't need a stage. You don't need a microphone. All you need to do is operate in obedience. Use whatever God has given you. Watch how he takes it, multiplies it, spreads it to the people that he desires to hear it, read it, watch it, be impacted by it. And then you get the seeds in eternity for your obedience from the things that God has called you to do. And so whatever you have, use it. Yes. You know, I'm reminded in the Old Testament, the prophet visits the widow's house and he tells her, whatever you have in your house, bring it. And she bought to him all these vessels. And I truly believe that if she would have bought him a million vessels, he would have filled a million vessels with oil. And so the limitation is not on God's ability. The limitation is on our expectation. And when we utilize what we have, God fills it. He fills it until it overflows. But what we bring him, he will use. And I just encourage everyone watching and listening to know that all that you need is all that you have. Place it in his hands and watch him multiply.
I remember something my dad shared that a mentor shared with him, and then he actually shared with me a little bit later in my life, was this idea that I was coming to God, bringing him things, but I wasn't coming with the right or proper spirit of expectancy. Mm. Like you said, expecting these things from That's God, right. knowing full well mm-hmm. that wherever he has you, he will use you That's if right. you allow him to do that very thing.
That's right.
Pastor Tim, as we wrap up today's conversation, seriously, I say this every time. I could listen to you for hours.
Oh, man.
I love you. I appreciate you. You have so much wisdom and knowledge. But I want you to give one more clarion call to the listener out there who finds themselves on a bumpy road.
Yep.
Things haven't been smooth for a while. They're desperately seeking help, hope, and healing. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. Remind them where to turn.
Jesus, you know, I've been asking those that are on this journey with me, why isn't Jesus enough? Why does it have to be Jesus and something else? Jesus and this, Jesus and that. Why isn't Jesus enough? You know, scripture teaches us that all that we have need of, his hand has provided for us. Jesus has to be enough. We're not looking to Jesus for things. We're looking to Jesus because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so my prayer is that we would find absolute fulfillment in Jesus, and that Jesus would simply be enough. And if we do that, I'm telling you, you may not get everything you want, but you will definitely get everything you need. That's why David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants," because everything that he needed was found in the good shepherd. And so I would encourage our viewers and listeners to find their greatest hope, their greatest fulfillment in and only in Jesus.
Might not always provide your expectations.
Yeah.
Might not even look like excess.
That's
but
right.
His presence will always be enough.
I'm telling you.
Pastor Tim Timberlake, where can our audience go to find out more about you? Again, as I always say, at the end of these conversations, if I didn't know about you, if I hadn't heard you before, I want to watch every sermon. I want to read every book. What's a one-stop shop that people can go to find out more?
Celebration.org. They'll find everything they need, everything they're looking for, sermons, resources, locations of our church. Everything is found there.
And where can they pick up a copy of The Bumpy Road to Better?
TheBumpyRoadToBetter.com, or pro tip, get it from Amazon. It'll be at your door next day.
Let's go. Yeah. Pastor Tim Timberlake, I love you.
I love
appreciate
you. Too,
you. Seriously, you're a battle Thank buddy. You're a brother. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
This is Dr. Zach Clinton, and in my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. Now, I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. That's why at Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian counselor or coach who shares your faith and your values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or maybe facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctively Christian. So if you or someone you know may be looking for help, hope, or healing, we invite you to take that next step today. All you have to do is go to ChristianCareConnect.com. Again, that's ChristianCareConnect.com, and you can easily find a provider within 100 miles of your zip code. For further support, you can even email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. Most importantly, remember, you don't have to walk this journey alone. Again, ChristianCareConnect.com, a new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.